Beloved community, grace and peace be to you from the one who gathers us, not only in familiar sanctuaries and pews, but in borrowed spaces, backyard brunches, and barbecues. Today we turn to a well-known, often misunderstood passage from the Gospel of Luke, the story of Mary and Martha. These five short verses in Luke 10, 38 to 42 seem pretty simple. Jesus visits, Martha gets busy, Mary sits and listens, and Jesus tells Martha that Mary has chosen the better part. For centuries, this story has been treated like a cautionary tale about workaholism versus spirituality. Martha is the anxious doer, Mary the quiet listener. And too often, we pit them against each other. But I want to suggest that this passage isn't just about choosing contemplation over action. It's about redefining hospitality, recentering our purpose, and learning what it means to build community, especially in the face of disruption. And this message, dear church, is deeply relevant to our story right now. Because we at First Baptist Church have lived our own version of Martha's chaos and Mary's clarity. We have experienced what Bishop Will Willimon calls the ministry of interruption. Back in February, our church building was damaged. What followed was more than just a logistical nightmare. It was disorientation. It was grief. It was change that was thrust upon us. We were displaced from the place that shaped our worship, our ministry, our sense of rootedness. In its absence, we felt the ache of homesickness. And yet, something unexpected happened. Something sacred. In the midst of disruption, we began to rediscover the deep importance of simply being together. Our post-service coffee times, which had perhaps become routine or lightly attended in the past, blossomed into genuine gatherings. We lingered. We've talked. We've reconnected. Last Sunday, between 30 and 40 of us gathered for a picnic. It wasn't flashy or formal. It was real. People stayed and shared and built community. The friendship group continues to flourish in their care of one another and send the beautiful cards that they share with those in our community. Visitation is being revitalized with new and existing volunteers. And as I look back over my years, my 8 years now, of ministry with children and families, one of the highlights for me is our monthly brunches in each other's homes. No programs, no PowerPoints, just food, friendship, honest conversation, and shared faith. I'm sure many of you have had moments like these. These examples are not a fallback plan. They are the gospel in action. Now let's go back to Bethany, where this gospel story unfolds. Jesus has entered a village and is welcomed by Martha. In a culture where hospitality was a sacred duty, Martha is doing exactly what would be expected of her. She's preparing food, she's making the home comfortable, and she's trying to honor the guest. But Luke tells us something key. Martha was distracted by many tasks. The original Greek word used here implies more than just multitasking. It suggests being pulled apart or tugged in many directions. That resonates, doesn't it? Haven't we all felt stretched thin? By expectations, by responsibilities, by change. Martha reveals to Jesus her stress. Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? And in that moment of deep compassion, not criticism, Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. but only one thing is necessary. Mary, her sister, it seems, has chosen that one thing. And what is it? She has chosen to sit at Jesus' feet, to listen, to be present. In one of my favorite books, The Art of Gathering, author and facilitator Priya Parker challenges how we think about hosting and community. She writes, "Gatherings often fail because we don't commit to a bold, sharp purpose. It's easy to assume we know what a gathering is for. A worship service is for singing and preaching. A brunch is for food. A church picnic is for fun. But these are what we do, not why we gather." Parker says every gathering should ask and answer the question, what is this moment for? That's the question Mary answers. She sees that this moment isn't about tasks, it's about transformation. It isn't about serving a guest, even though that's a great thing to do, it's about receiving a word. It isn't about impressing, rather it's about connecting. Martha is performing hospitality, which again is good, but Mary is embodying it. It's also important to remember that Mary's choice was pretty radical. Mary's act of sitting at Jesus' feet is not just spiritual, it's political. She's placing herself in the traditional posture of a disciple, a position that, in her time, was almost exclusively reserved for men. Her presence says, I belong. I am a full participant. I have a place in this circle of faith. And Jesus affirms her. This is hospitality redefined, not just making room for people, but making space with them. It's about recognizing each person's sacred worth and offering them full participation. It reminds me of what we've experienced in recent gatherings. When we sit across a living room or beside someone on a picnic bench and ask about their week, we're not just being friendly, we're practicing radical welcome. We're telling one another, you belong, you matter, and you are not alone. Displacement has a way of clarifying our values. When we lost access to our building, we could no longer rely on familiar routines. We had to ask, what matters most, and why do we gather? And in that holy disruption, we began to rebuild, not just structurally, but spiritually. We became like Mary, choosing presence, connection, listening. Kate Bowler, whose theology is grounded in vulnerability, reminds us that the miracle is not that life is perfect, but that we are loved through its mess. We have witnessed this miracle, haven't we? In coffee conversations that lingered, in shared meals in borrowed spaces, in children playing while parents swapped stories and concerns. In this strange, sacred season, we have remembered that the church is not a building, it is a becoming. Will Willimon says the gospel often comes as an interruption. Jesus disrupts our plans, our comfort zones, our assumptions. He doesn't wait until we're ready. He arrives uninvited and says, pay attention to this moment. I feel that's what's happened to us. The damage to our building was not just a logistical challenge. It was a spiritual invitation, an invitation to slow down, perhaps, to let go of control, to trust the Spirit's movement, to rediscover the joy of simply being together. And just like Jesus told Martha, that kind of presence will not be taken from us. As we look ahead toward eventual restoration, toward familiar routines resuming in the future, we must not forget what the season has taught us and continues to teach us. We must not let distractions reassert themselves. We must remember that the best ministry we've done wasn't produced, it was practiced. It wasn't polished, it was personal. It happens over coffee, over a barbecue, under trees at a picnic, in laughter and in tears. We've seen firsthand what Priya Parker means when she says, the way we gather matters. Because when we gather with purpose, when we create space for love, for listening and belonging, we become the church that God dreams of. Jesus told Martha that Mary had chosen the better part, and it would not be taken from her. And that promise is for each and every one of us as well. What we've discovered in this time of interruption and renewal, that kind of community, that kind of hospitality, that kind of presence, it will not be taken from us, especially not if we keep choosing it. So let us be a church that remembers what matters. Let us be a community that doesn't just serve meals, but builds relationships. That doesn't just host events, but practices presence. That doesn't just go to church, but becomes the church. Let us keep choosing the better part. Let us keep gathering with bold purpose. Let us keep building a beloved community, one sacred interruption at a time. Amen.